Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm going to be jamming with you this morning. We'll have some fun. I'm Ash Welch, and I'm the pastor at St. Paul United Methodist Church. Well, I'm appointed there, but I was appointed a long time before that as Peg's husband. Okay? Somebody asked us, you know, in India, that's where I grew up, in India, but we were married in India, and people asked us, was yours a love marriage or an arranged marriage? And we could always answer truthfully, Peg and I fell in love in Tiffin, Ohio, but my mother came from India and she arranged our marriage. True story. It really happened that way. So I went to a small seminary, and outside that seminary was a little village. Outside the town of Delaware was a little village. And my first appointment, it wasn't actually an appointment, it was just a student hire, had a little tiny church there, and that little tiny church couldn't really afford a full-time pastor. It wasn't even United Methodist, but they were just glad that somebody could come and lead them on Sunday mornings. So I used to go there and preach. But, you know, the hardest thing for me was to preach. I really struggled with that. So every morning, I would get somebody, a lay member of the congregation, to come and preach for me, and that was okay with me. I'd do everything else, the prayers and everything, but I'd have somebody else preach for me. One of my professors said, you know, in order to graduate from seminary, you've got to preach a sermon. I said, really? Okay. So he arranged to come and visit my little congregation, and he said, I want to hear you preach. I said, okay. So that Sunday morning that he was there, I came to the pulpit, and my knees were knocking so bad, you could hear this. And I said, do you know what I am about to say? And everybody shook their head and said, no, no. I said, good, I don't either. And I went and sat down. Well, the professor said to me on Monday, he said, you've got to preach. Next week I'll be back again and you'd better have a sermon ready. And I said, okay. And of course my people were a little disappointed. So I said, all right. The following Sunday I showed up and I said, do you know what I'm about to say? And half the people put up their hands and said, yes, because they figured I'm not going to say anything. They knew I was afraid of this. They put up their hands and said, yes. I said, okay, those of you who know what I'm about to say, tell the people next to you who don't know what I'm about to say. Receive the benediction. And I went and sat down. The professor on Monday morning said, you've got to preach. You have to say something. You have to do a sermon. I said, all right. So the third Sunday I showed up there and I said, do you know what I'm about to say? And by now, everybody had got the message. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're all ready. And they all put up their hands and said, yes, we know what you're about to say. I said, then receive the benediction. I don't have to say anything. And I went and sat down. My friends, this morning, you are going to hear the shortest sermon in history. And fortunately for me, I did pass seminary, and it's not a true story, but it sounds good. It's a good way to open worship. But this morning, you are going to hear the shortest sermon in history. The good news is it's not coming from me, all right? No, really, it's not. Letha, you're reading scripture this morning, right? Letha's going to read for you the shortest sermon in history. Yes, she is. She's going to read it for you from scripture, Luke chapter 4. And it's in starts in verse 14, and it may go to 21. Or it may go on to verse 30-something. It all depends because you have a circus rider coming this morning. Not a circuit rider, a circus rider. You have a circus rider coming this morning. And so while she is going to be reading you scripture, the circus rider is going to appear from the back. All right. Just want to give you a glimpse of what's coming up in worship this morning. Pastor Peg is preaching at St. Paul United Methodist Church. And I hope and pray they will be kinder to her than they were to Jesus when he preached the shortest sermon in history. Okay, I have an announcement for you. There will be a fellowship meal following the worship service. And so she said, be sure you keep it short so we can get to lunch. I promised her I would do that. Unfortunately, at St. Paul Church, they're not serving lunch after the service, so she can go as long as she wants. Everyone is invited to the lunch following the service, and today there's going to be the first presentation on the history of the church. And Maud Elliott is coming from 1917 to do that. Maud Elliott is coming from 1917 to do the first presentation on the history of the church. So be sure you attend the lunch afterwards. Stay and eat. It's a Methodist potluck. There's always food enough, whether you brought some or not. There's always food enough. And if there isn't enough food, we invite Jesus to lunch. He does the 5 loaves and 2 fish thing, and we got enough food. We're fine. Okay. Prayers and concerns may be placed on the Welcome Center for next week, because I went and looked outside, and there aren't any for today. You have no prayers and no concerns, but that's all right, because I have a few, a long list, but we'll go from there. Okay. Please make sure you sign the attendance sheet that's on the red pad and add today's date at the top and pass it around. Now, do you have any joys or concerns you'd like to share for the congregation? Anybody have a joy? Is anybody happy today?
I'm happy.
Bernice is happy? I'm happy. Bernice, let's start with you. Do you have a joy?
As she was checking and asking me certain questions, because she's in the auto mechanics, excuse me. She my answering the questions, she was saying, "Well, looks like I don't really have a problem. It was just that sometimes cars need to be charged up for the winter." And for that year or something. And so she said, you know, feel free to drive it. And so I just thanked the Lord, because I was wondering, like, how can I get here and there and everything? But the Lord just worked it out. And so I just thanked the Lord.
What a praise. And clear across to Marianne on the other side.
Thank you, Ash, for being here, number one, and for leading us into this celebration of the 100th anniversary of the church. And I want to thank those people who have made an effort to be here. Randy Hutchinson's here, our mayor, and I know Bob Kearns and his wife, the trustees for Springfield Township, are here, and all of you who are participating in this event. And one of the things that Reverend Kent wrote about was we need to be thankful for the prayers that were laid down before anything was even done. The union of the churches was set aside as an event that people had prayed for in advance. And I just want to thank all of you who have prayed for this event. Praise God.
And on that note, Peg shared with me the newspaper article that came out, I believe it was yesterday, and a wonderful article about the history of the church, how it was a merger between three congregations, a Presbyterian, United Presbyterian, and the United Methodist, or the Methodist Episcopal back then. And she also shared with me a folder on all the history of this congregation, and I'm so honored to be a part of this. Thank you so much. Anyone else? I have a concern to raise. I was not supposed to be here this morning. Reverend Glenn Hamilton, who is the pastor of Lexington Church of the Cross, and an old family friend of ours, he's been around in ministry longer than I have, but when he was transferring to the Methodist Church, I was appointed as his mentor, which I thought was kind of strange, because he's had about 6 years more in ministry than I ever did. But Glenn and I became very close, and we got to know his wife, Leslie. Leslie is struggling from spinal cancer. And so they went to Baltimore, Maryland this week for a special study at the National Institutes of Health to see if she's eligible for experimental treatment. So that's why he could not be here with you to do his thing with the circuit rider. And believe me, Glenn does such a better job. He's had lots of practice. He's done it for conference and other places as well. But you'll just have to fit in with the understudy. That's me. All right. But prayers for Glenn and Leslie Hamilton. Okay. Are there any other joys and concerns? If not, then let us prepare our hearts to worship God as we listen to the prelude.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here on this frosty, frosty morning. Will you please join with me in the call to worship? Though the storms of life rage, with you, holy God, we rest secure. In the midst of icy roads and snowy blizzards, you are our solid rock on which to stand. When the winds of nature howl, you hold us in the sure embrace. In the fury of the storm, we stand in awe of the forces of nature. Through it all, we deepen our trust in you. Will you please join with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather in your house today with abundant thanksgiving. We bring to you in prayer our hopes, our concerns, our requests, and our joys. We also bring them to our church family for support from fellow Christians. We bring ourselves to you knowing you hear every word. We're troubled by many things in our world, but you know, we know you're right here with us to help us bear anything. Because we also see loads of good things too. We're so blessed. As we celebrate our past 100 years in service to you, help us to look forward to building our future together. Be with us in all that we do. Guide us in all that we do. And help us be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand.
Oh, for the clouds and time to save my life.
We'll now invite the ushers to accept our offerings. Ask your blessing upon these gifts and upon all your grace that is bestowed upon us each and every day. We ask you to bless us so we don't take your mercies for granted, but that we dedicate ourselves to your service this day and always. Amen. In our prayer time, I'm going to pray for categories, and after each prayer, I will end the bidding with, Lord, bless us, and I invite you to say, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-loving God, we come before you knowing full well that in all of your creation, we are but a small, tiny part. And yet so often we think of ourselves as the center of the universe. Humble us and remind us that you are the one who is in charge, not only of our lives, but of the course of history. And as this church has been around a lot longer than any of us have, you have guided the affairs of the people who have built it into what it is today. To you we give thanks and praise for those who came before us, those saints who struggled on in faith, knowing that your grace abounds in their lives. From them we have learned what it means to be followers of Jesus. From them we have learned what it means to be strong when the storms of life are raging around us. And to you, O God, we give you all thanks and praise. And Lord, we ask you to bless us. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of our church, for the pastor of this congregation, Peg Welch, for the District Superintendent Karen Ole, for the Bishop of the East Ohio Conference Tracy Malone, and for all our lay leaders and servants that work behind the scenes and up front in this congregation to bring the Word of Christ to this area here in Ontario and beyond. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of our nation and our community. We pray for those who guide and lead our township. We pray for those who guide and lead our state. We pray for your guidance and blessing upon the leaders of our nation, upon the safety service crews, the police, the fire, the paramedics, the nurses and doctors who work upon us. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick, struggling with health. Remind them that even in their illness, you, Lord Jesus, are still the perfect physician. Guide the doctors and nurses that work upon them. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. In their grieving, remind them that their loved ones can now rest in eternal glory in your kingdom. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for your word. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. May your word spread among us and through us in the form of love as we minister to the needs of others. We pray that your word will reach the far corners of the earth, every nation. We pray that you, O God, will make yourself known, that people can grow in love. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, hear our prayer. All this and more we would beseech you, as together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Prepare your hearts and minds to hear the word of Scripture from Luke chapter 4.
Reading from the book of Luke 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout the whole surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and then he began to say to them, "Today, This scripture has been fulfilled. In your hearing, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words of him that came from his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted into the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many windows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Nahum the Syrian." And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, they drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. And he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astounded at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of the unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice. Oh, you're here. Hello. Welcome.
And the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ shall come among the peoples, and we shall know the love of the Lord. My friends, Letha read for you the mission of Jesus, where he stood up and spoke in the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the Jubilee year, the year of the Lord's favor." You have heard the word of God. My name is Ash Welch, and I want to tell you about some people who have influenced me in my life. There was Adna Bradway Leonard. Do you know who he was? No. Born on a farm in the early 1800s in a state called Ohio. Have you heard of Ohio? How about Berlin Center, Berlin Township, in what is now known as Mahoning County? Back then it was Trumbull County. I know that area well. I went there many times in the 12 years we lived in Boardman Township. I went to Berlin Center Methodist Church many times for meetings, and I knew the pastors there as well. Adna Leonard, Dr. Adna Leonard, came from that humble beginning, went on to teach himself how to read and write. Then he went to Mount Union College. He became the general secretary of the Board of Missions, Foreign Missions, of the Methodist Episcopal Church. And while he was doing that job, he came to learn that we needed missionaries in India. The Presbyterian Church had missionaries in India. The Congregational Church had missionaries in India. The Reformed Church had missionaries in India. And so it was that he convinced the Methodist Church to put forth $7,500 and appoint 25 missionaries to the country of India. Adna Leonard's son was also named Adna Leonard. The son became the bishop of the Buffalo Episcopal area. Have you heard of Buffalo, New York? A small town boy from Ohio, Adna Leonard the younger, grew up in Dayton area where his father was at one time the pastor. His father was also the pastor of a place, and Adna the younger became the bishop of this region. He was the bishop of the Galleon Circuit, of which Ontario Methodists were a part, before it was Ontario Methodist Episcopal Church. They had a circuit rider who came through, even as I have come today. Adna Leonard, the younger, as the bishop, raised money to support the institutions that were coming up in India, and he helped build the Leonard Theological College. Remember that. It's important to the story. Leonard Theological College, which today is the only Methodist seminary in all of India, was the college where my grandfather was a professor of Old Testament. Yes, the Reverend R.J. McWan from Gujarat, India, my grandfather was a professor there, but long before he became professor there, he came to Northwestern University in America to study. And while he was here, he happened to realize that he needed money to live. And so he let it be known that he could preach. And people all over the Midwest would ask him to come and preach for them. And so it was that he ended up in Ripley, New York. True story, when I, Ash, was at Heidelberg College as a sophomore, I was part of a small singing group called Faith in Action, and we took an old school bus, and boy, did we have fun painting it with a big sign on the side that said Faith in Action, and we gutted it, and then we put some benches in it, and we traveled in that school bus to Ripley, New York. And when I went to the Methodist Church in Ripley, New York, the old preacher who was appointed to that congregation said, "Your last name is Welch?" But I knew a man whose name was R.J. McWan, whose daughter married a Welch. And I said, "That's my grandfather. How did you know him?" He said, "He came and preached in Westfield when I was the pastor there." And do you know that a couple of years ago, I was looking on the internet, and I discovered that my grandfather preached at Epworth Methodist Episcopal Church in a town called Marion, Ohio. And he also preached at Cory United Methodist Church, way before it was United Methodist, and at the First Methodist Episcopal Church of Warren, Pennsylvania, because those were the two congregations that supported his life when he was an orphan boy growing up in a Methodist orphanage and school in India. My grandfather always said, "Can you imagine how good God is? God is so good that God took an orphan boy from India and sent him to America for a great education. And now I am a college professor and dean at the Methodist Seminary in India, Leonard Theological College." But my friends, my grandfather had another purpose in life. Other than just being a professor, he was also a father to my mother, who met my father at Garrett Theological in Chicago. And my father, from the age of 12, wanted to be a missionary, not in China, not in Taiwan, not in the Philippines, not in Africa, but in India. And so it was that my father talked to my mother and said, "Why don't you teach me Hindi?" And she said, "Okay, we'll trade, and you teach me psychology. I'm struggling with that." They taught each other Hindi and psychology, but they taught each other about the love of life And so it was that they came to be missionaries, and my father's appointment was to Leonard Theological College in India, the same one that's named after Adna Leonard of Berlin Center and his son Adna Leonard of Dayton, Ohio, the doctor and the bishop. My life has been a series of intersections and God incidents. And so it was that I grew up on the campus of Leonard Theological College as a child. And I learned the love of God in Jesus Christ. But you don't know this. Absolutely true. As a child, I had a drug problem. I did. I had a drug problem. My parents drugged me to Sunday school. My parents drugged me to church. My parents drugged me to a Christian school. And I, Ash Welch, today, imagine how God works in my life. I never wanted to do this, but God had a plan and purpose. Now I work with people who have drug problems of the worst kind. And yet, for years, I didn't want to be a pastor. But God said, well, it wasn't God. It was people. I must admit, it was people who came up to me, even as a 14-year-old. They said, Ash, you're going to be a preacher like your father and grandfather. And I said, no way, I want to be a counselor. That's what I said. I want to be a counselor. And the same man who told me about Heidelberg College in South India, as a senior in high school, I went to take the SAT, and the guidance counselor at the school there said, go to Heidelberg College. They have a good program in psychology. That same man was to, many years later, tell me to go to the Methodist Theological School in Delaware, where they have a degree in counseling for drug and alcohol abuse counseling. And even when I went there and people said to me, you're going to be a preacher someday, I said, no way, not me. I want to be a counselor. But God had other plans. Why am I here today? I'm here because Jesus had a plan. Listen to Jesus' plan. Jesus unrolled this book of the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. Mary Read took good news to the poor. Did you know Mary Read? Well, of course not. You weren't around back in the 1800s, were you? Oh, some of you look like you're probably old as dirt, but you weren't around back in the 1800s. I should know. I'm as old. Well, I am old. I'm old. Dick, did you know I'm old? Yeah. Even when I was young, I was old. Yes. How old are you, young man? 11 years what? Old. He said he's old. 11 years old. When I was half your age, I was 5.5 years old. I've always been old. But Mary Read, she lived to a ripe age. Mary Read wanted to be a missionary. She did. She was from a little town called Lowell, Ohio. Do you know where that is? Down near the Ohio River. And Mary Read said, I want to be a missionary to India. Well, in those days, they hardly sent women to India as missionaries. It's a tough life. You couldn't stand that. And she said, I can and I will. Send me. You see, at the age of 16, she became a Methodist when the Lord touched her heart and said, believe in me. And she said, I believe in you, Jesus, and I'll go where you send me. Send me to India, but I'll go where you send me. Mary Read went to India. She got sick shortly after she arrived there. So they sent her up to the hills, the foothills of the Himalayan mountains. And while she was up there studying the language and recuperating from her illness, she came to learn that there were 500 lepers in a village near the town where she was staying. And every day she would go and see the horrible plight of those lepers, how their noses and ears and fingers were being destroyed by the disease, and their toes and feet would be lost. They couldn't work. They couldn't get food. They had to be taken care of. And Mary began to minister to them. A couple of years later, she came to Ohio to visit her family, and she had some tingling sensation in her fingers, and she was losing the feeling there. And she had a lesion on her face, and her doctor had never seen anything like it. But as he investigated, he discovered that she had the disease of leprosy herself, Hansen's disease. She contracted it working with the lepers. You know what Mary did? In those days, there was no cure for it or treatment. Today, there is. It's a treatable disease. And you know where the treatment centers are located? Louisiana, where my parents now live. But in those days, there was nothing to be done for Mary Reed. And so she did the most logical thing she could. She said, I'm going back to India. And she went back there to work with the lepers of India. Mary Reed was appointed as the director of a small leprosy clinic up in the hills. And she called it beautiful Chandag, overlooking the snowy mountains of the Himalayas, the tallest mountains in the world. She lived out her life there. And guess what? She was completely healed of the leprosy, and it didn't come back for about 20 or 30 years until shortly before she died. But she didn't die of leprosy. She died of heart disease, had a heart attack and died at the ripe age of 78. Mary Reed from Ohio. Did you know there's a United Methodist Church called the Mary Reed Memorial Church? And imagine the surprise when I was invited to preach there at Mary Reed Memorial Church, and I learned about Mary Reed for the first time. That was in 1988, when Peg and I returned from mission work in India. We served there as missionaries as well. Why are you here today? Is it because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Has God anointed you to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Ontario Methodists, why are you here today in this world, in this place? As I came down the hallway, I looked on the left, and there are the names of so many places where you serve in mission and ministry. Have you seen those names? Yes. Does anybody know any of those places? Can you name one? Where? Harmony House. Harmony House is a place where people who have no homes can find a home for a little bit. Where else? Salvation Army. Salvation Army that does so much good that they've got a lot of dinglings who go out before Christmas and gather money and then give clothing and food to the poor. I know. I've been a dingling for the Salvation Army. Where else? Pardon? Peanut butter and jelly. Yum. Peanut butter and jelly, the PBJ ministry that feeds the poor. Where else?
Gideon's International
that provides the Word of God to so many thousands and thousands of people around the world. Where else?
Blue Rose
Mission that repairs homes for people in the Mansfield, greater Mansfield area. Where else?
Love Inc.
And what about, did somebody say? Blood drives, yes, blood drives. And where else? UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. Where else? How about further away, outside of this country? Honduras. Honduras, yes. Why are we here today? Is it because you came to see a circuit rider? Yes? No. No. I am a circuit rider, that's true. I go from one circuit to another. Last night we had a circuit that blew in our house. I found the circuit breaker and I restored it. No, no. Truthfully speaking, I am a circuit rider, appointed at the will of the bishop from one different circuit to another. And as God would have it, I started out my ministry career in a little village called Iberia, Ohio, 5 miles south of where I move now. You know, we got slow horses in Galleon. It took me 5 years to move up, no, 17 years to move up 5 miles, up the Lincoln Highway, 309. I'm still on the same highway. There must be only one highway in all of Ohio. God has put me here in this place at this time to preach good news to the poor. And that's why you're here as well. Are you here just to see a circuit rider? No. Are you here because we've got a nice warm heating system in this church and padded seats to sit in? Are you here because you love to sing? Is that why you're here? No. That's one reason. Yes, sure, I'll agree with that. That's one reason. But you're here because you believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in His mission on earth. And here it is for you. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. To proclaim God's Jubilee year. Now, I would say to you that proclaiming the good news is a good thing. But it goes both ways. It cuts both ways. The year of Jubilee for the Jewish people meant that every 50 years, 1 year would be set aside when the poor would be given special privileges. If you were a slave, you could buy your freedom if you had saved up for it. If you were a servant and were a tenant farmer, then for that year, all the goods from the farm would be yours once in 50 years. Now, whom does that hurt? Whom does that affect? It affects the rich. The owners of the farm would have to give for that year. And if they hadn't saved up for 50 years, they'd be in trouble, right? So Jesus' good words for the poor were bad words for the rich. And as a result, the leaders of the synagogue gathered together and said, let's get this man out of town. He preached the shortest sermon. That's a good excuse for him. We'll throw him off the cliff. And he got in trouble for it. But what happened as a result of his preaching the good news to the poor? 2,000 years later, the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ is still alive and well in the world today because it's in all of us, all of us. Imagine this. This boy, who at one time went to Bishop Cotton Boys School, and I have to confess to you that when I stood up to read the scripture every Sunday night, you'll love this story. We had a pulpit where one of the teachers of my school would preach, but we also had a lectern on the opposite side where the scripture was read. Now, our school was an all-boys school, and the boys all sat on the pulpit side, okay? But across the street and down a ways was the girls' school, and every Sunday night, the girls would march across the street and down a ways, and they would come into our school, and they would all sit on the lectern side. So when I volunteered to read scripture, it was so I had a bird's-eye view of all the girls. Don't tell Peg I told you that. But that's really true. I volunteered to read scripture so I could look at the girls And then on my way back to my seat, down all the way down that aisle, I would sneak a note past and give it to one of the girls, and it would get passed over to the girl who was at that time my girlfriend of the month, let's just say. Okay. And yet, God chose me with all my bad intentions to do what I do today. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And God knew that someday I would turn around and do what God wanted me to do. Mary Peg. And toe the straight line and spread the good news of the love of Jesus Christ, not just here, but all over. And to this day, I am so grateful to God for God's love, that despite who I am and because of who I am, God lets me do what I love to do, share the good news. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you that the Spirit of the Lord has always been resting upon you and through you upon so many of us. We thank you for the great ministry of the people of Ontario Methodist, the people who now are your hands and feet, your heart and mind and voice, sharing the good news of the love of Jesus Christ, not only here in the North Central Ohio region, but in foreign countries as well. Lord Jesus, come upon us and be with us and proclaim this the year of your favor upon Ontario United Methodist Church and its congregation and its people. This the year of Jubilee when we remember that we've been around 100 years and more preaching good news, releasing those who are bound to sin and evil, releasing them into your care. Lord Jesus, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to turn to number 173 and sing one of my favorite hymns, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Sky. Bene from Latin, which means good, and diction, which means to speak. So I want to share the good word with you, but I invite you to share it with me as well. What I love to do at all my services, and my people have learned this and I share it with you, is I will say, go in peace. Go in peace. I will say, go in peace. And your answer is, and not in pieces. Okay, now wait a minute. That sounds cute. It sounds funny. But think about this. The word peace and the Hebrew word shalom means much more than, well, just togetherness. It means wholeness, completeness. And so when I say go in peace, literally your answer is, and not in pieces. And my prayer for you is that as you go through this world this week, that God will keep you together. And God will be the force that joins your atoms and keeps you going through this week, okay? Until we meet again. So go in peace and not in pieces. Amen.